Okay, we're starting at the top of Nun Tet Amud Aleph, about six lines down. It says, "Rebchir Ba'abel, Iklo de Gavla." He went to a place called Gavla. What's interesting, that what Tosfot says over here, that the Gavla, he says, "Mefersh Baruch Har Seir." Says that the Gavla is Har Seir. He says, "Chein Targum Yonatan Har Seir Tura de Gavla." Targum Yishlam Yomer Ophiyam Yihar Paran Itkalei Mitura de Gavla Hon Livinoi de Ishmael. So he says the Gavla was Har Seir, or the place of the Bnei Yishmael. Miu, Lefi Emet, Mashma Yoter, she ear of Eretz Yisrael. Says, but I really think it is an ear of Eretz Yisrael, even though the word Gavla, or the name Gavla appears in those instances of Har Seir. He says in context, it makes a lot more sense that it was a city of Eretz Yisrael. Chaza, Benot Yisrael, Dim Abron Meobde Chavim, Shemalu, Velo Tavlu. That they were marrying, becoming impregnated with, by goyim that had, or of the chovim that had converted, but they only had milah without any tefillah. Chaza, chamru the mazgei of the chovim b'shatu Yisrael. So the wine was being diluted by the non-Jews, and the Jews were drinking it without any qualms. Chazar turmusa, so these lupines. The shalke lehu of the chavim that the chavim were cooking for them, v'achle Yisrael, and the Jews were eating it. V'amar lehu, lo amar lehu, v'lo mida. He didn't say anything. He let it all go. Ata lekamed Rabbi Yochanan. It came before Rabbi Yochanan and must have told him what was transpiring in the city. Samalei tzeve achreiz al b'nehem shein mamzerim. Number one, go make an announcement. Their children are mamzerim. Ayenam mishum yei nesach. Their wine is Yain Nesach, Val Tumusan Mishum Bishulei of the Chavim, Mishum She'enam B'nei Torah. The Tumusan has a din of Bishul Akum, because they're not B'nei Torah. Mishum She'enam Torah is only modifying the last of these three, which is the Bishulei Akum. Right, then we're going to go through each one of these, what it is. Al B'neihem, She'en Mamzerim. Why are their children classified as Mamzerim? Rachbi Yochanan the Ta'amei. Yochanan is in his own position. Rabbi Yochanan Lulam Inu Ger, Ad Shimo V'Yidbo. This person's not a ger until he has milah and tefillah. That we can accept. Okay, so now he's not a ger. So goy. Now, so he's a goy, but why does that make the child a mamzer? Bekevin tlo tovil, ovid kochavimu. V'amar rabba barchana, rabbi yochanan again, ovid chavim, ve'eved, abal bat Yisrael, vlad mamzer. So an ovid chavim, an eved, who has beal with the bat Yisrael, the vlad, the outcome is a mamzer. So it's really rabbi yochanan the shittate from the two perspectives. One is that the ger, the gerut is not completed until you have milah and tefillah. And the second one is that if he is classified as a goy, then the child born of the goy and the bat Yisrael is a vlad zamam zer. So that's a Rabbi Yochanan Shita te. Then, v'gazur ayinam mishum yai nesach. So why was the yai mishum yai nesach? Mishum lech lech amrina neziras choskor lo karma lo tikrav. So we saw that in yesterday's daf, that when it comes to the mezigo, ayidei nachri, even though mikra adin, it's not yai nesach, because it's kocho, it's with the mayim, but since he's involved with the wine, we said better that he doesn't, because it could either yavol adei maga, could come easily for him touching the wine, or because of it doesn't prevent the social issues which are involved with this. So therefore we said, don't allow the goy to do this. Again, it's a din derabonon. So din derabonon, achar chakam derabonon, whether the Isur is just Isur shtiyah, as Rashi says, or whether it's also Isur anoa, the Tosas brings down that possibility, right, that relates to what we discussed yesterday. Val tum musam, mishum bishulei of the chachavim. Now the two musim had a din bishulei of the chachavim, fi she'enan b'nei Torah, because they were not b'nei Torah. What does that mean? Taima deinam b'nei Torah, ha b'nei Torah shari. If they were b'nei Torah, he would have been matir or them to eat this. If it can be eaten in its raw state, then there's no bishul akum when you eat it in its cooked state. But lupines are not eaten in their raw state. Not eaten in the raw state, there should be a din of bishul akum. So Rabbi Yochanan ki
hachal. What's the connection between? And if they were Jews,
they weren't B'nai Torah. No, he was machmir on them because they were not B'nai Torah. Because he was afraid they would be machmir other places.
Bishlakom. The Jews weren't.
The Jews in the town of Gavla.
They weren't B'nai Torah.
Right, they were not B'nai Torah. And therefore he was afraid to be machmir Bishlakom because then they would come to be machmir everything in Bishlakom. So he was machmir on them. So the Gemara wants to know, well, what do you mean he was machmir on them? That means that everybody else would be okay to eat these. But we have a principle in Bishlakom. If it can be eaten in its raw state, then there's no bishlakum when it's cooked. But these tumusim can only be eaten once they are cooked. That means that it doesn't qualify over here. So he holds like the other lashon. And Amar Shmur bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rab, kol she'inu olel shulchan melachim lefeit bo etapat, ein bo mishum mishulei avdech chavim. Only if it's brought on the table of a king, or it's worthy of being brought on the table of a king, is there any issue of bishlakum? Tumusim are not brought on the table of a king. So never, they're not eaten raw, they're not brought on the table of the king. So he says, ah, time and day in B'nai Torah. Because you're not B'nai Torah, therefore he was oser them as a rachoka, because he was afraid they would be matur of bishlakum. Ah, B'nai Torah, sure, had they been B'nai Torah, would have been fine because of this second qualification in bishlakum. And again, Tosfos brings the Rabbeinu Tam, which we saw before when we did the original sugya back on Lamed Chet, which is the Rabbeinu Tam says, Pasuk Rabbeinu Tam, kehani trei lishnei. That we pass like both lishonot l'kula, without Rabbi Yochanan Sirele kai lishna bacho. Because here we see Rabbi Yochanan taking the lishna bacho. Kaimelan Rav v'Rabbi Yochanan lochi Rabbi Yochanan. So if we have a choice between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan dictates your lishna bacho. Ula bishna bacho lo polig Rav alei. And even in lishna bacho, Rav doesn't necessarily disagree. Ukalishna dechoshin echal kamoshu chai it lay the stam talmud alel. And before, the Gemara was so tame on Daf Lametet, like the Kamot Shuchai. So you see, the Gemara is vacillating, moving back and forth between the two reasons, and doesn't seems to use either one. Wherever it's useful, they'll use either one. And therefore, he paskins Rabbeinu Tam again, Lekula. I mean, that is mostly Lekula here, the Rabbeinu Tam. So the only time it'll be Asur is if you don't have both of them, meaning that it's not Nechal Shulchai, etenu nechal chai, and ole ashulchan malachim, in order to be problematic. And now the Gemara says, "Boy minei Rav Kahana, hovei kochavim, mahu sheolech abanim lagat." What's the din in hovei kochavim bringing grapes to the gat? So I'm a little asur. We don't allow him to bring it to the gat because it's asur mishum lech lech amin nizir aschor aschor lekamelot ikrav. You do it as a preventative measure. We don't want him bringing the anavim to the gat because then he might do more than that, so we prefer that he doesn't do this.
You know, it's very interesting that we say this is halacha, and in previous tefillin we had all kinds of issues with going, being more involved in the process of making the wine. Right. Wasn't brought up.
Right. So here we're going to discuss this in a second. Why? So Eitve Rav Yehuda Rav Kahana Ove Kochavim Shevi Anivim Legat B'Salin Ove Dodorin. Somebody who brings, over come and bring grapes to the gat in baskets, or in these dordorim, which are these gigiot ktanot, right, these small utensils, these small barrels that they bring them to. Afa pisha yain mizalei falem, even though there's wine falling out of them, mutar. That's totally fine. So what do you mean? Here we are saying or suggesting that there's some sort of isur derabanan, chachur derabanan, when he's bringing grapes to the gat. And now we have clearly from a Tosefta, that Ovi Chavim are bringing anavim to God, even when they're like pouring wine out of them, that it's not a problem whatsoever. So why are you suggesting it's not? Amalei. Hevi kamart? You're bringing me something midievid. Ana lechatchila kamino. I'm trying to give aloha lechatchila. You ask me, can they bring it? We say no. If he did bring it, what's the din? Then it's not Dayan Nesef. That's what the Tosefta is addressing. If he already did bring it, what's the din? I'm addressing the other tzad, which is, if the Chatchila, you come and ask me, should he do it? The answer is no, that he should not do it in this case. So if you look at the Rashbam, the last Tosfos in the previous Omer, it says, Rashbam perish, Zilashono, Shigbotrim anavim, Notrim otam b'salim l'licham l'gat. Right? After you pick them, you put them in these baskets to bring them to the gat. Mit ma'achim, they get soft and they crush. B'nichbashim anavim zelzeh, and they press on each other. B'ayayim mizaleif, and the wine flows out. U'meitilim otam b'gat, and then we dump them into the gat. Ma'u shi'olichem ovid chavim l'gat. What is the case? Mi choshiv ha'u shi mizaleif. Asod yayin nesech v'magaulo. The wine that comes out of here, does that have a din of yayin nesech? His question is not whether he can put the anavim in the gat. That we've already addressed that, and this is what your question was, David. We already addressed the issue that the goy can put the anavim in the tapuach, even touch them. He can touch the wine in the gat, and there's no problem whatsoever. So what's the question here? The question can be, is it, can he bring the Nevi'im to the God? That we've already been addressed by the Mishnah. So what the Rashbam says is that the question of the Gemara here is really not about bringing the grapes to the God, but rather about the wine that is seeping out, or the wine that is flowing out of these baskets. Does that wine have a status of yayin, and therefore the Goy can make it into yayin nesech, or does it have a status of yayin at all? So, even though the terminology that the Gemara is using is Maushi Yolichim the God, can he take him to the God? That's not really the question. The question is not about taking him to the God, the question is if he touches the wine. So it's because if there's wine in the God, then we know if it's Nimshach or no Nimshach, that's all that makes the difference over there. So now why did it talk about God? He says Rucho de Milton Okot. That's it. Now, Tosas asked a good number of questions on this. He says, Kashachada, Dolayaloli Shoba Locha, El Maushi Aser over Chema Yanus Lefa Maga. It's clear that the question should have been, if the guy touches it, what's the din of the yain? Not what is it if he's taking it to the God. Number two, he says that it's Pshita, that the yainim is the Lefa Navim, Inu Nechshav Leod Yain Nesech, El Kamayim Baalmahu. Even according to the Mishnah Achrona, the din of yain only starts when the Mashiach, when it starts to flow out. But before that point in time, there's a din of yain. And then there's another chiluk that the Rashbam makes that Tosfos rejects. L'chach nira l'ri, which is down as you get to the wider lines in the Tosfos on the Amud Bet, says l'chach nira l'ri l'fresh, demari shbitchitchel l'mashiach. So this is going to answer your question. Here's the question. Why is this different than the cases that we were speaking about in the Mishnah before? We already addressed all these issues of the goy bringing the grapes. Now here is where the gat has already been opened. They started to press in the gat, and the wine is flowing in the gat. So therefore, if there's no only Mashiach, we already know from the Mishnah, you can put on the tapuch, you can touch the wine, there's nothing to talk about. The question is, what happens if it's already starting to flow? The wine is moving out of the gat, down the sinor to the bor. If he takes it without throwing it, there's nothing to talk about. He's throwing it into the God. Are we afraid here when he throws these grapes in? The problem is now that the wine is already mashiach. If the goy touches this wine that's in the God at this point in time, it's problematic because it's already flowing. So I want to know when he brings the grapes to the God, he brings them to the press. What's the story with these grapes when he throws them in? Is that like mazgu, where we say even though he's pouring in the water, we worry about it? Or no, maybe not. Over there, when you have to be mosaic, you have to be very careful. You have to make sure the measurements are correct. Over here, he's just throwing the whole bunch into the God. See, the Rashbam and the Ri are addressing your question, David, which is, if we had a Mishnah prior that already addressed all these issues, that first of all, he can bring them in, put them in the tapuach, he can touch anything in the God. What's the question here, where they can carry grapes from the tzira to the God? The answer is that the case here, either according to the Rashbam, it's a question of what the yayin is, or according to the Ri, that we're already in a process where it's kli mashiach, where it's already flowing, and therefore has a din of yayin, and we're questioning whether now are we marchik him from putting it in. It's only a din drabona, not a din, right, of yayin. That's a kad small, but this lech lech, I mean, do we say this, or when do we say it? What's the context in which it's said? Is that what Tosfos is setting up? A context which makes us easier to understand why the Gemara is asking this question after already addressed these issues in the Mishnah. That is a very interesting case. Then an etrog. Shenafal l'chavita d'chamra. It fell into a barrel of wine. Idrei ovek chavim. The ovek chavim jumped up. V'shakle. He stuck his hand right into the barrel to grab the etrog. Amalu Rashi, Rav Ashi says, Natul yadei, hold on to his hand, keheched lo l'shach sheikh, so that he cannot dabble there, shach vebe, ubertsua, of the shayfo. And then, drain the wine out of the barrel until it goes, moves away, or tip the barrel over until the wine leaves from where his hand is. So you have a case here where there's an etrog in there, he dips his hand in to grab the etrog, and now Rav Ashi says, grab his hand so he can't move it anymore, so that he can't make it to Yain Nesech. And then when you take, don't allow him to bring his hand back up, but rather drain the wine from the barrel. Tip the barrel over and then empty out the barrel, instead of having him take his hand back out. Because we're afraid, if he's going to take his hand back out, what's going to happen? He's going to end up doing Sheikh Sheikh, and then we have a problem.
It wasn't Sheikh Sheikh when he took out the etrog.
Well, the etrog, he went into the etrog, he hasn't brought it out yet. So he's in there with the etrog, he grabbed it on the way in.
And that was, and then of course, it
oh, so that's the question. Why isn't on the way in? Why isn't that the problem? So look, Tosfos asks your question, which is, what about on the way in? Even though he knows it's wine, but not Ikach etrogo. He's busy trying to get the etrog. Shlo yitanech. So it won't get dirty. Bedame lemadado biyad. It's the same thing as when he goes to measure the wine with his arm. That there we say that he's busy with the measuring, that we don't worry about the fact that he's going to be mishachshech. When he's also right, when you're busy doing whatever work you're supposed to be doing or focused on something else, there won't be time or focus on doing the shichshuch. That's the opinion of the Balei Tosfot. Rabbeinu Tam has a different shita here, which is important. This Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam perish bracha, but chnasad yad savor shu shemen. So Rabbeinu Tam has a different answer to your question. According to the first answer in Tosfos, he knows it's wine. And despite the fact that he knows it's wine, we still allow him to do it. We don't worry about it because we assume that he was also trying to get the etrog, that he's not focused on making it to yayin nesach. On the other hand, Rabbeinu Tam says, no. The only way it works is that if he thought it was oil, that when he went in, he didn't know it was yayin. So on the way in, he doesn't know it's yayin, that's okay. But once he got his arm in there, he knows it's yayin. Now we got to stop him, we got to hold his hand until we drain the wine out, because on the way out, he doesn't know it's wine. And then the Rashbam says, Rashbam says, gives a third possibility, which is that when he goes in to touch the edrog, grab the edrog, it's not asur, why? He's touching it without kavanah. He couldn't care less about the wine. He wants his etrog. So he's not touching the wine with intent to touch wine. He's touching the wine to get to his etrog. And that'll be the same. That's the same as if he thought it was shemen, and it turns out to be yayin. Because when he went in, he didn't realize that it was a problem because he thought it was shemen. But once he gets the etrog in his hand, now once he's, has yishuvadat, and he already has his etrog, now he could do much more. He could do more damage, and that's why we said to hold on to his hand. So we saw three possibilities about why, on the way in, it's not problematic. One possibility is that he's osuk by doing is he's grabbing the etrog, so we don't worry about it. Number two is Rabbeinu Tam suggested it wasn't yayin. They didn't know it was yayin. He only thought it was shemen, and that's why it's not problematic on the way in. And then we had the Rashbam, who suggested that on the way in, it's magra shelo b'kavana. His intent is not to touch the wine, but to get his etrog. So magra shelo b'kavana is not asur ba'ana. It's only on the way out already. Once he knows it's yayin, that we start to worry about it. So Amar Ravashi, Hayom kovim naskei lechamra di Yisrael b'kavana. So now, and Ovi Chachamim, that went ahead and made yayin nesach out of Jews' wine b'kavana, intentionally. Even though you cannot sell it to another non-Jew, because now it's Osir Ba'ana, Yayin Nesach is now Osir Ba'ana, and even though it's not his wine, he can make it Osir Ba'ana, we saw that earlier, because if he does a Maseh can overcome the lack of ownership. So here the Ovi Chachamim did a Maseh, and therefore it overcomes that lack of ownership and makes it into Yayin Nesach. Nevertheless, surely the Mishkol Dmei, he can still charge that non-Jew who made it into Yayin Nesach for the loss of value over here. My daima, Mikla Klaya. It's as if he burnt it up. From the Jew's perspective, when the Goy does this and makes it into Yayin Nesach, it's the equivalent of him spilling it out on the floor. Because the Jew is now also Bano on this Yayin. That makes it worthless to him, and therefore he can make a claim against this Goy. So Amar Rav Ashi, Minah Aminullah. How can I prove that to you? How can I prove to you the fact that when a goy does such a thing, that you can charge him for it? Detan, you have a price. Ovi chavim shenasachin oshel Yisrael shelo bifnei avodat chavim asur. He did a libation. I made a libation. Made it to Yayin Nesach, even though it's not in front of the avodah zarah. Nevertheless, it's asur. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Matirim. They say it is mutar. Why? Bishum shnei dvarim. There are two reasons that they're matter over here. Echad, shem naskin yayin elo bifnei avodat chavim. They have a general principle, which is that you can't be menasech yayin away from avodah zarah. Yayin nesech, or mean nisuch yayin, it's only done in presence of the avodah zarah. It's not done just in your backyard somewhere. You just see some wine and you menasech if the avodah zarah is not present. And number two is echad shomer lo lo kol kavim menach shetesor yani don't see. What right do you have to be oser, to ruin my wine? You don't own the wine. It's my wine, not your wine. So how could you make it into Yayin Nesach? So for that reason, they are matir. Now, what's interesting about this is, you had a machlokas. You have a machlokas in this braita between the Tanna Kamma and the Rebbe Yehuda's. Tanna Kamma says that it's asur. When it comes to every chavim of a Jew, that a non-Jew is menasech, even out in front of Avodah Zarah, it's totally asur. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Rabbi Yehuda ben Tera say mutar. Now Rashi points out the afagav de lo sfiril on kavatayu. We don't hold like them. We don't allow you to sell it. We don't paskin like that. So Rashi says an unbelievable thing. Tosfos seconds it. He says it in a slightly different way, which is that Rashi just brought down a braita to support his position. It turns out that the position in the braita that supports him, which is Rabbi Yehuda, the two Rabbi Yehudas in the braita, we don't paskin like them. We don't say that. We do say, we say the goy has the ability to make it into yayin nesech in this case, because he does a masa in your yayin, and it is yayin nesech. Nevertheless, because we found an opinion that says that you could get an avram and you could have sold it, that's enough reason, Rashi says, to be mechayev the goy when he destroys the wine for you. That it will not be considered hanah from the yayin nesech. It's an amazing thing. Here you are, osur b'hana'ah. You're not going to get any benefit from this yayin nesech, because you can't sell it to anybody else. Can't do anything with this yayin. Nevertheless, you can charge the goy who made into yayin nesech for the damage that he did over here. What's my proof? My proof is that we have a Tana who says, in another instance, that the goy is not allowed to make your wine into yayin nesech. So since we have that opinion, we're going to be lenient over here and say that you can collect compensation for it. It's a very strange jump or leap of faith here, that you can take a Tana that we don't possibly like, and that can dictate the rules in our case over here. So Tosfos also says a similar thing. From the two Rabbi Yehudas, we can understand the Rabbanan's position. Don't be so machmir. The fact that they were matir means, in our case, don't be so machmir. To be also for the one himself who did the nesuch. If this was a Jew who did it, so if this Jew went ahead and spilled this wine out, it's Yayin Nesach now, and the Jew takes it and just throws it, spills it on the ground because it's Yayin Nesach, the guy would say to him, I'm not paying you for the wine, you dumped it on the ground, that was your fault, I'm not going to pay you for it. So v'im kein, ayol achshivim d'may Yayin Nesach mamash. That means that if the goy does pay him for them, it's compensation, it's money that's coming out of this Yayin Nesach. Because what's the Jew going to do with the Yayin Nesach? He's going to pour it out on the floor. If the goy knows that he's going to pour it out on the floor, the goy's not going to pay him a penny for it. So now when he does pay him, it sounds like he's compensating him for the Yayin Nesach. That should be problematic. Came into Israel, im nischo chayav l'shalim. If a Jew went ahead and did this, a Jew took another Jew's wine and was menasechet for the vozra, you'd be chayav to pay. But feel shof chozet, even if you pour it out afterwards, it's nine nesach. Therefore, bo b'chachoyim nami chashvin l'n demei hezeko. We call it demei hezek here by a goy as well. So you see, Tosfos is doing a little more acrobatics to make it easier than Rashi, but he's saying a very similar thing. He's saying, okay, from the two Rabbi Yehudas, let's hear to the Rabbonon that we shouldn't be so machmir. What do you mean we shouldn't be so machmir? Over here, if he wants to get compensation, we're not going to call it Demei Yayin Nesech. Why? Because in a case of a Jew had done it, we would force him to pay in that case. So over here, when the guy pays, we call it compensation for the Nesech created, not repayment for the Yayin Nesech, or enough from the Yayin Nesech. Again, it's a little bit of a stretch. And then you have the Rashbam, who gives an alternative explanation. Over here, Perish, the Ravashi, lo aiti l'miltayo l'smachta, delo koheminach. Rashbam says that Rav Ashi only came to teach us this asmacht of lokel minach, even though we don't pass in the locha that way. Mikom kom shmina miyad the tana tamaltiyo he lisholo marlo. Still a good taina. We say even though we don't pass in that way, it still has a taina. And since it's a taina, we don't call it dmei yainesek, but we call it dmei nisko. Somewhat similar to what Rashi said. The Rashbam is saying that since we have such a claim out there, even though we don't hold like it, then we can rely on that to change it from being Yayin Esech Aser Bano to Dmei Nizko. Alright, so now, we have another case. Hau Chavita de Chamra. In this barrel of wine, the Shtakel de Barzo, the tap came out. So they would stick a tap into the side of the barrel to allow the wine to flow out. Now if the tap comes out, now I have a hole in the side of the barrel, what's going to happen? All the wine is going to pour out of this hole. So Ato Kavim Idre, an Andrew jumped up, Anach Yadele, and he put his hand on top of it. So Amrababa, Kodla Hade Barza Chamra Asir. Anything that is adjacent to the area where the tap was is Asur. V'idach Shari. And the rest is Mutar, and Rashi says what do you mean the rest is Mutar? It means even B'shtia, the rest is Mutar. And then Rashi goes on to say that the Loch is not like him, that the Loch is not like Rapapa over here. He says, Lid Hilchot Tokavadei, because he's a Dati Yachid over here, and Rova disagrees with him later on, we'll see. Now, Bikadamre, some say, Amra Papa, Adabarza Chamra, Asir. The wine until that point in the barrel where the tap is Asur. The Idoch, and the remaining amount is mutar. That means that all the wine above the tap is asur because that wine would have left the barrel. So when the guy plugs it, he's affecting all that wine. Anything below the tap is not problematic because below the tap, it wouldn't have come out. The guy is not doing anything to stop it from coming out. Amar Rav Yemer, this is like a machlokas tanaim. Chavit shenigva, a chavit that had a hole in it. Ben mipia, ben bishulea. Whether the hole was at the mouth of the barrel, or whether it's the bottom of the barrel, there was a hole there. Uben mitzideha, or whether it's on the side of the barrel. Benogo bo tvuyom tmea, tvuyom tmea touches it. Rabbi Yehuda omer mipia umishulea tmea. If he touched it at the top of the barrel or the bottom of the barrel, then the whole thing is tmea. Mitzideha, if he touches it on the side, torah. Mikan umikan. Then above it and below it will be tohor. Rashi points out, what does this mean? Shulea, we're talking about all the chaviot that the Gemara talks about. They talk about kadim shel cheres. They're talking about barrels that were made out of clay, earthenware. They were not wooden barrels. So if he had the holes at the bottom of the barrel, all the wine would have flowed out and he plugs it, then it's a chibur all the way up because he touched it. If it's at the top of the barrel and he touches the wine at the top, then it's a chibur because the lower wine is supporting the upper wine. So when he touches the upper wine, that tumah will go to the lower wine because it's supporting it. Whereas when the hole's on the side, we say it's tohra, mikan, mikan, because that's rapapa. Now, again, Rashi points out, the rabbanon late lehu derapapa, the rabbanon don't hold like rapapa, yokach leif yokata kabatei, then nothing's like him, b'kulu asur b'shtiyah mutar ba'ana, the whole thing is asur b'shtiyah and mutar ba'ana. So that's the Gemara here differentiates between the top and the bottom. The same thing with the barza here. It would be a differential between the top and the bottom versus the side. That's the second lashon of rapapa. In the first lashon of rapapa, then anything above the, anything adjacent to the berez would be problematic, but everything else, the rest of the barrel would be mutar. Those are the two lashonot of rapapa about when the goy plugs the hole over here. What is the goy doing here that's going to make it problematic? So Tosa says it can't be because of nitzel. We're not talking about a flow of wine out of the barrel that he's touching. That's not the issue over here, because they bring the proof from the Mishnah by Tuma, which is that we're talking about chibur here. We're talking about the connection between his hand and the wine that is there. Right, so Rashi over here suggested that the wine that we're talking about here, the asur and the mutar, what Rabbi Pop is talking about here is shtia. Whether you can drink it or you cannot drink it. Now it turns out, according to the second lesson of Rabbi Papa, Amar Rabbi Papa had a barza chamra asir, anything until the barza would be asur. V'idach sharin, the rest is mutar. That means for Rashi, you can have half a barrel of wine that's mutar b'shtia, and the other half a barrel that is asur b'shtia. How do you have that? How can you have a barrel that is half mutar b'shtia and half asur b'shtia? It's all mixed together. You can't do that. Now, when you're talking about hana'a, and that's what Tosa says, when you're talking about hana'a, then I can understand it. If half the barrel is mutar b'hana'a, half the barrel is asur b'hana'a, then all you do is you sell the whole barrel, but you only get half the compensation for it. You only get compensated for the half of the barrel. That's how I can deal with it. So Tosa says, I think that's what we're talking about here, that with barza, when we're talking about out of barza, means asur b'hana'a or mutar b'hana'a. And then Rabbeinu Tam questions Rashi's psak over here. Rashi says the halacha is not like Rav Papa, because Rav Papa is kim like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, he set himself up like a dat yachid in the mission of Rabbi Yehuda. Never the halacha is not like Rav Papa. So along comes Rabbeinu Tam and says, we find throughout Shas that there are plenty of places in Shas where we paskin like a dat yachid. That's not enough of a reason to say the halacha is not like Rav Papa, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's a dat yachid. We paskin in many places throughout Shas, we paskin like a dat yachid. The Rabbeinu Tam says, even though I disagree with Rashi on that point, I still think Rashi's right, that the halacha is not like Rav Papa, because later on in the Gemara, we're going to get to a case. It's a very interesting case of a siphon. That is later on Daf Ayin Bet. And in the case of a siphon, how do you start a siphon off? So today, when you have a siphon, they use these big rubber squeeze things to start the pressure to move the siphon from one side to the other. But in their day, they didn't have those big squeeze things. What do? You just, if you suck it up a little bit, then it'll start the flow of the siphon and the siphon continue. So there, the Gemara discusses about that case of a siphon where the goy does the mitzitza. He sucks it up and then starts the siphoning process. What does that mean for the wine that's coming in each barrel? Over there, Rava has a psak, and that psak seems to go against what Rav Papa says over here. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam in the end says that Aloha is like Rava neged Rav Papa. Even though they're both Batras, they're both later Amoraim, so Aloha and Rav Papa is even later than Rava. So we really should pass on like Rav Papa neged Rava. Nevertheless, since Rava is Rav Papa's Rebbe, over there we're going to pass in like Rava and against Rav Papa. So Rashi says the reason we don't pass on like Rav Papa here is because he's holding like a Dati Yochid Rabbi Yehuda. On the other hand, the Reino Tam says, no, that's not enough of a reason not to pass on like Rav Papa over here. But rather, the problem is that Rova disagrees with Rav Papa later on in the Gemara by the case of the Siphon. Since he disagrees with Rav Papa over here, we have now a Machokas of Batraot. And it comes to Machokas between Rova and Rav Papa, we're going to pass on like Rova because Rova is Rav Papa's Rebbe. So that's why we don't pass on like him. If you look at the Tosfos on the top here, that a Rav Moshe Mikutzi. Rav Moshe Mikutzi is author of the Sefer Mitzvot, the author of the Smag. He says, I don't agree with this whole psaka of the Rabbeinu Tam, because it's all premised on this condition of the siphon, the case of the siphon later on in the Gemara, being similar to our case. And he says, I'm not sure that that's true. I'm not sure that I agree with him. And the reason that the Halacha is not like Rav Papa over here is because he holds like a Dat Yochid, Rabbi Yehuda. And what about the Rabbeinu Tam's question? That we pass on like a Dat Yochid? He says that's not true. He says when we pass on like a Dat Yochid, it's only when the Gemara is explicit about the fact that we pass on like that Dat Yochid. When the Gemara gives us and says we're going to pass on like that, or the stomach of the Gemara goes like the Dat Yochid, then we pass on like a Dat Yochid. But over here where the Gemara makes no... Right. I mean, that since the principle generally is halacha k'rabim, if we don't have any evidence to the contrary, we're going to pass them like the rabim, and that's why the Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. Yes, true, in some places we pass them like a dad yachid, but that's when we have evidence to that fact, or we have a statement in the Gemara to that fact. Over here we don't have that. So he disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam. The Smag disagrees with the Rabbeinu Tam from the practical standpoint that Rav and Rav Papa are not arguing because who says the cases are the same? He differentiates between the case of the Seif and the case here. But he says Rashi is right about the Loch not being like Rav Papa because it's Dad Yochid. And he undermines the Rabbeinu Tam's position that Dad Yochid doesn't mean we don't pass like them. That's true when we have an explicit statement to the fact that it is the Loch is like this Dad Yochid. We don't have that here. So therefore the Loch will not be like Rav Papa in this case. I think we'll stop here.